TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Smash. We've got a bogey. I'm on the way.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back.
We are reacting to the reaction, and of course, talking about somebody who is back on this week's edition of The Greg DeMarco Show.
Straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Miranda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Cause it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
That sound means it must be, well, for us, it's a Tuesday night, soon to be Wednesday morning for the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd. It is the Greg DeMarco Show. The Greg DeMarco Show, of course, presented to you as part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which is presented on TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You can visit the website at thechairshot.com. You can also follow the website at thechairshot.com on all of your forms of social media. And you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your very own chair shot t-shirt. And it's like $2 extra to do it in soft style. Totally worth the price. Just ask Miranda. Now, my name is Greg DeMarco. You can follow me on the social media at ChairShotGreg. That's the best way to do that, and we have lots of fun. We're going to dive right in so that we can, you know, get our shit in this week, as they say. So first up, of course, you know him, you love him. I don't even know how many Twitter followers he has because I don't have that tab open right now. It's the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
What are you at now? What are you up to?
It's very bad indeed, Greg.
What happened?
We're down. We're down two.
Down
from 436 to 434. I'm stuck in the mid 430s. Yeah.
You've been living at the shitty Virginia area code for a long time.
Maybe I should pick on like somebody everybody loves.
I lost
Candace
some too. LeRae.
I'll pick on Candice LeRae.
That lost me some. I gained them back in new followers, but I went down. Well, I dipped under 4,700 for a minute there. So,
sure. Yeah. Well, as they say, fuck you, Greg.
No, they don't put the U in there anymore.
Oh, that's right. Fuck Greg.
That's right. To make a soundbite out of that one, too. So, that is the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. He's not the only person who we do this show with. Oh, no. I talked about wearing a soft style shirt, and that of course is in honor of our other co-host, the hostess, I don't know. She's the person who runs the hashtag Miranda Show. She is the queen of soft style. It is none other than, I gotta find her music. Oh wait, wrong tab. It is none other than Miranda Morales.
Viva la raza!
I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal. Yo, mamacita, I got that passion that's lasting.
Shut
up! I play that because she's a lion whore.
Damn!
Whoa, where'd the whore come from, sir? I mean, lying, yes, but whore, no. That's not part of my wheelhouse, sir.
You told us about high school. You told us.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, wow. That's going in. I mean, I can have, you know, some of that humor myself. I was actually, you know, a very good kid in high school. It wasn't until later on that I decided to ruin my life. So, you know. I just delayed it. That's all.
You just decided to ruin your life. Tell us, how did you ruin your life? That's another show for another time.
But
Patrick's not here. Patrick's not here next week. That's well.
Okay, next so week. You got 2 weeks to.
That's
to
right.
Talk about whatever that.
No,
is.
Only one.
Yeah. No.
Miranda, only one.
Will not.
Wait,
Miranda
what?
Will also not be here on August 27th.
Oh so, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. So
who are you going to replace? Who are you going to replace?
This is how it's going to go. This is how it's going to go in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's gonna be me.
Here comes the big dog. Boss time!
Wild card, bitches! Yeah! No chance
of that! You're so vain.
Watch out for Keith.
That title sure does.
8, 7, 6!
Aw, pudding.
Damn!
The chair shot.
You guys know how to party.
And that's going to do it for the August 27th edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. We'll see you next time.
You know what you could do?
Watch out for Keith.
What's
no,
that?
No, don't do that. Bring back Steve Cook.
Mm.
Yeah. Wait. I got it. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
It's literally going to be a clip show. Like, that's... Literally a clip show.
You know, we've never done you've got enough footage now. You have more than enough footage to do like a best of the DeMarco Show.
I can do Conrad Thompson 3 times my size. I can't do that to our listeners. That's just not fair. I'm probably going to do an interview that week. I'm working on it. So
that's a betrayal.
That's what I can do.
No,
it isn't. No, next week.
Not us?
No, next week when we talk about, you know, the in memoriam to the people who the wrestling business has passed by. That's next week's topic.
That hurts. That hurts a lot.
You didn't want to do that one, did you? Like, that's not something you were interested in.
No, I didn't bring it up at all.
Nah,
you didn't say you wanted to do it or anything.
I mean, yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't know why you insist on hurting me, like all the time. Like,
you're just like, a giant baby.
Like, why did you have to do that? Why'd you have to stomp on my heart like that? No, you're so vain. Like, no, it's you.
No, it's you.
It's you.
It's you.
It's you.
You.
No, it's about you.
So this has been nice and all, but...
Well, hey, no. Why are you getting in here, interloper? Like, we already know why Greg brought you on, and that is, as it says in the intro to the show, to replace me. I see where this is going.
No. Okay, you said your piece. Now, Miranda, you say yours.
Oh, I don't have any piece.
Oh, my goodness.
And the viewers can't see that, but a gesture has been brought forth.
So, interesting story. I won't go into details on the air, and I haven't told you guys about this yet. Someone actually offered us the opportunity to do a video show.
Nobody wants to see that nose.
I can't put a face on. No.
Well, I mean, your face is still going to be better than Greg's face. So.
True.
I mean, his is actually the definition of a face for radio. Like yep. You were to, you know, you hear that expression, and that's what it is. He knows it. Like, he's not going to deny it. Like, it's fine. See? Look, he's a good boy.
You know
the
what?
Nose but plays.
I feel like that turns to a foot fetish video real quick. So oh, I appreciate what? That you passed on what? That.
I didn't tell. I didn't say I passed on it.
Oh.
I didn't say
uh-oh.
I was
breaking news.
Greg, it's bad enough that everybody knows that I operate out of a basement studio. I don't need people to see the basement studio. All
it's
right?
Probably like, way nicer than they think it is.
I mean, yeah, it is a better than the typical basement studio. I will give it that.
Yeah, it is. But no, someone did. They offered. They were like, "Yeah, you can come on here and you get like a revenue share and all that stuff." And I was like, "I didn't. I just didn't say anything." I talked about
revenue sharing, huh?
Yeah.
Like a dollar.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on how many people watch.
But, 50 cents.
Yeah, it's one of the online streaming services that shows wrestling videos for a subscription fee. So. Yeah. That's what that is. So anyway, we, as people heard about an hour and a half ago during my opening, we are going to talk about the reaction to the reaction, because this weekend, of course, we had TakeOver, we had SummerSlam, and then we had a big return on Raw, and everyone reacts to it, and we have a reaction to the reaction, some quite adverse, others not so bad, so we're just going to dig into that and talk about it, and that gives us a chance to talk about those specific shows and those topics at the same time. So we're going to kill two birds with one stone, except no birds nor stones were hurt during this recording of the Greg DeMarco show. We'll start with NXT. And NXT, I think we'll go through in the most detail because that's just always a hot topic. I think part of it's because they only have 5 takeovers a year versus 12 to 14 pay-per-views like WWE does. But I want to go through the matches real quick and just kind of get your reaction to the reaction, because we started with the Street Profits versus Fish and O'Reilly. And everyone's like, oh, this match was so good, and it stands up there with all the other amazing Undisputed Era tag team matches at TakeOver. And I didn't see that. So what did you guys think?
I mean, it was fine. Like it wasn't... I was very meh. Like, I don't know that it was a particularly bad match, I feel like we're going to say this a lot, or at least I'm going to say this a lot when we talk about this takeover, is the hyperbole that, like, people kind of ran out there with the quality of that show, as if it was on par with all these other takeovers that have happened. It wasn't. And I'm sorry, fans, it wasn't. And this match was a very fine match. It was a serviceable match. It didn't change anybody's life, and is not. I don't know. It was fine, but it wasn't up. What did you say, Greg? Up there with the whatevers.
All the other Undisputed Era matches.
Others, yeah, all the other Undisputed. Not really. It was fine, but not in the same caliber.
Yeah, I do have to preface that I did not watch TakeOver live, so I've been watching just lots of clips and. Whatever I can catch up on the network. But I also think that, to Patrick's note, even what WWE has for the clips, usually they're really putting out kind of the biggest or just kind of the most standout moments of matches. And even just in going through that, there wasn't anything that stood out, which I think is a testament to the entirety of the show. And, I think people's overall opinions, I don't know if, you know, if the clips are supporting that or people's opinions are supporting the clips, whichever way. But from what I saw of that match, it was a good match. I mean, it wasn't bad by any means, but at the same time, I think your expectations are set high going into a takeover, and being able to, knowing the history of tag matches that they've had too, you always wonder, you know, what's going to happen in tag matches. Are there going to be things that surprise you? especially if the Street Profits, that maybe we still, you know, this could have been a time for them to do something different, to shine, to show some different athleticism that maybe we haven't seen from them yet. And I just didn't particularly see that. So good, but nothing that was, you know, stunning or overwhelming or whatever, you know, big adjective you want to throw out in there.
Yeah, like, to me, the Street Profits are a main roster act, and that's where they're going to excel the most, in my opinion. And I think, and they're already there, kind of doing that. They've been on every Raw and SmackDown, since, you know, for the past like month, making their appearances. I will say that Montez Ford is probably the only other human being on the planet who has enough charisma to attempt a people's elbow like he did at TakeOver. Didn't hit it, but then did hit the rock bottom. So I was excited about that, and I think he will eventually hit it. But they were just a half step. They were a half step behind the Undisputed Era the whole time, which, there's really nothing wrong with that. A lot of people in the world are a half step behind the Undisputed Era. That's just how good they are. But I think it felt like a main roster team came down to fight the Undisputed Era on TakeOver, and it was kind of a half step behind. The match that cost me Twitter followers, we'll just preface it that way. Io Shirai one-on-one with Candice LeRae.
Dude, you should just go first.
Let's add some context to
Okay,
this.
I will. So here's the problem. I didn't dislike the match at all. I was fine with the match. It was a good to great match. I think I gave it 3 stars. I don't know. I did stars for Andrew for his sake, even though I hate them. The problem that I had is, and I had this problem a little bit with the opener, but more with this one. I don't want to watch a TakeOver. Like, TakeOver is supposed to be the best of NXT, and many people consider the best wrestling in the world. I don't want to tune in to TakeOver to watch someone have to get carried. And that's what I felt like happened in the match. Like, Candice is not at the level of Io. Now, Io is probably the best women's wrestler in the entire world right now, especially since the heel turn. Like, I'm willing to give that distinction. Like, I'd pick Io over Charlotte Flair. I'd pick Io over Becky Lynch. I'd pick Io over Shayna Baszler right now. She's just that good, and the heel turn was perfect for her. And Candice just did not, like Io carried her to that match, and my opinion on that pissed a lot of people off, because much like the Street Profits, they went into the match wanting to love Candice, so of course they did love Candice, just like they tune into Raw wanting to hate the show, and they do hate the show. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you look closely, and this is what really pissed people off, if you look closely, you'll see that Io was literally having a run to get into place or slow down for Candice. Like, Candice was fast when she needed to be slow, slow when she needed to be fast. And I literally saw Io, like, pushing Candice into position at different points. And it was just, you know, that took a lot out of it for me. And I probably underrated the match for that reason, because I'm watching it like, oh my goodness, you know, she could have died right there if not for Io. So, and that pissed a lot of people off. And of course, I, you know, not the best in explaining my point on Twitter, told people, well, if you knew what you were watching, you would understand. And some people didn't have that comment, because they were like, apparently you don't know what I'm watching, which proved they didn't. But really, it's you know, that's what took it away from me. It was a good match. It was probably better than good, but that was 100% because of Io Shirai. And it shouldn't be like that on a TakeOver.
By the way, it's good to see that you went to the Jim Cornette school of explaining wrestling opinions. You just don't know shit. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. You're wrong. Shut
I didn't
up.
Go that
you're
far.
Wrong.
I was
you're
like
wrong.
A,
you're wrong.
I was like a 0.7 on the Cornette scale on that one.
Yeah, Cornette's worse, obviously. I mean, he created the whole thing. So, yeah. So here's the thing: is I also think, Greg, that you have a different eye for matches now than you did, gosh, even 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, as you've sort of shifted your role and been involved in the business in different ways, booking a company, for example, and booking shows and having to have an eye on how things are really going and working and being around other workers, it is easier for you to see that. I liked the match. I wasn't really blown away by the match. I think Io looked like the star of the two. And that's not a knock on Candice necessarily, in the sense that I think that Candice has a long and wonderful future here in the WWE / NXT. But Io looked and felt like the bigger deal. And I do think there was a level of just skill there, as you sort of alluded to, that makes a difference in what you're seeing in that match. And when there's a disparity there, like, it shows through and makes a difference.
I kind of agree more with Patrick, just because, you know, Greg does have a really keen eye, and it can definitely be perceived as critical. But I do think it's, you know, when you do have that, you know, that history and that experience booking shows and in professional wrestling, you definitely can see things in a much more critical way. Me, not so much, because just also, you know, my big forte in matches is really being able to see the interactions between performers, really being able to see what kinds of emotions were being played. And I mean, this was, you know, really good face heel dynamic. And I really did sympathize for Candace, but also Io just looked phenomenal. I mean, she looked really, really tough. And I think that for me showed over, you know, anything else. So, and I could see why, you know, though people would get upset with anyone's criticism of Candace, because she did put in a great effort. But I could also see, man, he thinks I'm chasing the hug. I'm not. I'm just trying to look at, you know, from someone else's perspective, why that happens. But also, she is an internet darling. Like, I do think sometimes we put blinders on to people's performances because we have our blinders, because we love them so much. And I don't think we'll talk about this, but and I know we're sticking to TakeOver, but real quick, I mean, that Ember Moon Bayley match was not good. And Bayley was part of the reason why that match was not good. And you know I love Bayley, and I hate criticizing her, but I expected so much more out of that match. Even knowing what we saw in TakeOver, knowing both the athletic ability of Ember Bayley. So, you know, I do think that we have blinders that don't allow us to really view things in a critical way. And it's important. So that way in the future, you know, Candace can have a really outstanding match on her own. And there was definitely elements where Io carried. And one day Candace will need to carry a match, especially one that she's going to win. I can see that, you know, having a rematch. And she's going to need to carry that match in order for it to be, you know, especially against Io, I would assume, in order for it to be successful. So that's just my two cents on it. I like the match overall, but I can see, you know, what the, you know, issues were.
I do have Ember and Bayley on my short list for SummerSlam if we get to it, so don't worry.
The short list.
Going to skip Riddle and Dane just for time, except I did find it funny that Matt Riddle interrupted his second ever takeover, which is funny that they have him doing that as a big baby face. Velveteen Dream, Roderick Strong, and Pete Dunne. For me, a lot of people were calling Candice and Io the match of the night. Some people called the main event the match of the night. I know Patrick won't. I thought the triple threat was the match of the night. Like, I loved this match and thought it was especially, it was a good use of Velveteen Dream because he got to just come in and do his spots and leave. Some people thought it exposed Dream a little bit. I don't think it did. I just think it was a smarter way to use him. I could watch Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong fight all day. Like, it's just so brilliant and beautiful. And Roddy was really the ring general of this match, which is kind of what he is. I listened to a podcast. I think it was Chair Shot Radio, one of the daily ones that Ray's doing right now. I guess some research was done. Roddy's had more matches this year in NXT than anybody. Like, if you count the house show loop and all this. Like, apparently Gargano's only wrestled 14 matches in 2019, and Roddy's wrestled like 80 or something like that. Like, it's just some crazy number. He's on every house show. He's doing everything. He's kind of the MVP, I guess, of NXT, which I didn't even know. And I'm a big Roddy Strong fan. But I just loved that he carried the match. He did such a great job, and I thought it was good. And I wasn't even upset that Velveteen Dream won. I just really enjoyed the hell out of the match and thought it was really good. What'd you guys think?
I have to be honest. I haven't seen this match in the entirety, and I know it wasn't even that long. But from what I did see, I mean, it really is hard to, I think, to put together a triple threat match as far as timing and having the right spots. And from what I saw, they were able to do that really, really well and still be in sync with their own styles. So, I mean, three just really talented people putting it together in the ring. I mean, it's a tough thing to do. And that was one thing I did notice in this match that I really liked.
Yeah, you brought up a good point before Patrick goes. For a triple threat match, which is quite formulaic, they were able to make it unique, which I really appreciated because they did things that you don't always see in a triple threat match, got away from some of the standard triple threat match tropes. They did some of them, which is fine, but I did think it was kind of unique for that regard. Sorry, Patrick. Go ahead.
So I wanted to go back real quick. I just had a question. Were people mad that Dream won? Like, you sort of alluded to...
I think it was more because I said, you know, Velveteen Dream won. I didn't mind that. That was more because I just talked about how wonderful Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong was and loving what they did so much. Still didn't bother me that neither of them won the match, especially once Undisputed Era lost in the opener. You kind of figured Roddy wasn't going to win either, although I thought maybe they'd throw us a curveball and still have Roddy win. But
With the WWE and its tendency to kind of mirror all of its programming, what would be another faction with, you know, without having all the belts? So, you know, I 100% agree with what you're talking about with Roddy as sort of as that ring general. I had no idea he had worked that many matches either. But then again, I don't really watch NXT, so he got me there. But it sounds like he's a glue guy.
Yeah.
For the locker room and the roster, and that's awesome to see because, I mean, we've watched him for years through multiple companies. Again, a perfectly fine triple threat match. Lots of fun, enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, definitely probably my match of the night, too, if you're going to ask me to pick, which you're right. I don't think the main event was the match of the night. And I have reasons, but, yeah, I don't know that there's much more to add to it. Other than again, was it where would we put it with other NXT matches? It'd be solid and hold its own, but you know, not a goat by any means.
Yeah. It's no Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne from TakeOver Chicago. That's for sure. And it, I mean, even, you know, the Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano match from TakeOver 25, which I think is, you know, spoiler alert, I think is their best match of the three that they had. It was also the one that was only one fall. Go figure. But before we get there, Shayna Baszler and Mia Yim, again, the other women's matches, you know, some people incorrectly saying this is the first TakeOver with two women's matches. Not the case, but it's been a long time, so I understand why they feel that way. I'll let you go first this time instead of me, Patrick.
Well, one, let's hear it for me for, you know, getting all of NXT right, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely perfect call. I thought when Mia Yim got the fancy entrance that maybe this was going to be Mia's time, contrary to what I believed. I just wonder who's going to beat Shayna at this point. I don't think we know. I think we know or we have an idea, but I don't know that we really know because she's running through everybody unless they do a heel sort of thing and EO takes it from her. But the match itself, like, I enjoyed it. It was physical. It was fun for me. But again, I just wonder where we go next with Shayna Baszler. I guess that's what I really walked out of this match with, is like, okay, now what? And this is coming from a guy who picked her to win. Basically because I always pick the champs because I don't watch NXT. But like she's at a point where I do feel like she's ready to move up into a women's division that could use a little freshening up. It got a little bit of freshening up on Monday, but could also be a lot of fun on the blue brand if we could move her up as well. And maybe, you know, give the women's division in NXT an opportunity to kind of take some steps. Because I do think that with her as the champ right now and really just being so dominant, I don't know where they go next.
So, Morgan, I know you probably only saw bits and pieces of it, but what did you think?
Yeah, no, well, I really agree to what Patrick is saying about Shayna Baszler, because I came in, I really thought Mia had a good chance, and the way that she approached this match was different than I think other people had before, like that she really could go toe-to-toe with Shayna. I think some other opponents in the past, you know, they were competitors, but knowing Mia's history, knowing her abilities, I thought this is a really formidable opponent. And to see, one, it was a really, you know, competitive match, but two, just Shayna going over the way that she did, it does really leave me with, how is this going to end? Because the last dominant NXT Women's Champion you had was Asuka, and she forfeited the title. You know, Shayna's not going to let go of this thing. So there's not going to be a forfeit. You know, someone is going to beat her. And it is going to be a really interesting time when that happens, because there's different ways to go about it. But also, it is that balance of how do you still keep Shayna as this really stellar, dominant wrestler, while also eventually having her lose the belt. That's going to be a really interesting booking decision. But I liked this match. I thought that they had a lot of good chemistry. And I wish I'd see this again. I wish I could see this in a different, you know, maybe further down the line. You know, it does look like it's on to the next for Shayna.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like, it does... It was weird in a sense. I liked how they did the match, actually, because, you know, Shayna got hurt during the match and had to, you know, and did a great job selling the arm injury throughout the whole match and had to use a different finisher, and that was unique. But to me, like, I expected whoever beat Shayna to lose to her the first time and then beat her the second time. That's what I fully expected. So to me, Mia Yim needed a breakout, like, big-time breakout performance to be that person to beat Shayna the second time, and she didn't have it. In my opinion, like, I just didn't feel like she was breaking out at all during the match. And so my fear is that, and maybe it's not a fear, maybe it'll be a better matchup for her, is that's going to be Candace. Like, I just feel like they're going to go in that direction. I've seen a lot of people say that they might go with a 3 or a 4-way for the next takeover with Mia, Candace, Shayna, and Io to get the belt to Io without going heel versus heel. I don't think NXT would be too afraid to do heel versus heel either, because the crowd would probably side with Io anyway in that kind of a match. Shayna's story and whether or not she loses will be interesting too, because if they go to TV in October, then that's before the next takeover, which will be probably mid-November. So you're looking at 6 weeks of TV, probably a two-hour show. Shayna could be a big part of that. So the possibilities are kind of endless. NXT tapes this week, so we might get some insight there, but it'll be interesting to see. But in terms of, like, I came out of that match and I was like, you know, Patrick always likes to joke and say that Bobby's not the guy, brother, from back when Bobby Roode didn't originally win the TNA World Championship. That's kind of what I felt like Mia. I was like, Mia's not the guy, brother. Like, that's just what jumped out at me. There's a ton of women's talent in NXT that's not being used, like a Deonna Purrazzo and Tenora Conti, and just so many that they just got to build them. And I think the timeline, I think the new TV will do that. So lastly, we can move on to what was the main event. And of course, it wasn't called the Three Stages of Hell match, but it's pretty much what it was, between Johnny Gargano and the greatest professional wrestler on the face of the planet. Soundbites are behind for some reason, or just not playing. So we'll see what happens.
No, couldn't hear it.
It didn't play. I'm closing the soundbites. Yeah.
I thought you were waiting for a response. It just
No, I wasn't.
Like, very dramatic pause.
No, that was me waiting for soundbites to play. That's all. So we'll
maybe
restart
you got
to
do it, the soundbite, though. I mean, the people may not know. This could be their first go round.
Nah, I'm good. So this isn't the show where you tell me what to do. That's another show.
As he's got you there.
Plus, I'm waiting for the thing to restart to make sure that it actually works. That was me. That wasn't the soundbite. That was me.
We gotta get you a producer, Greg.
I know. It's
how old's the oldest DeMarco child? Is the oldest DeMarco child capable of operating a laptop?
I'm just glad you referred to it as the DeMarco child this time, so that's appreciated.
Hey. I actually had to stop myself before I said it. I had to, like, wait a minute. Be like, no, put it back.
You can hire an intern, right?
Maybe. I mean, we thought about it before, and there's ways. I mean, I know enough about the college environment to write, you know, an internship approval. We could get it done. Get somebody from ASU. But
free labor in the DeMarco household.
Yeah, I don't think that interest is there to that type of. If we did this on the Xbox, I think we might be able
add
to
add it to
off.
The chore list and then call.
Oh yeah, ooh,
that's a good idea. Take out the trash, empty the dishwasher, produce my podcast.
produce Dad's podcast.
If he wants his allowance, like he'll do all right. The chores on the list.
So right. Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, three stages of hell match. Patrick, just. I know what you want to talk about, so have at
it. I mean, and I'm not even gonna talk about it that much. I didn't hate this match, and a lot of people had a real big issue actually with the second fall. I hated the end of this match. I hated the finish of this match. I hated that spot off the top of the cage with the two of them. And I don't know if it's because I've become old, that I'm just older as a fan, and that kind of spot. I don't get blown away with, oh my gosh, look how amazing that spot is. The only thing that I can think of when I see these spots is, oh my God, I hope one of them wasn't seriously hurt. Like, that's it. I can't watch Mick Foley go off the top of the cell anymore. Like, I can't, it turns me off in a way that, and I remember watching it when it happened and being, you know, that was multiple years ago. I don't even know. It just was a bump that I saw and was like, was this really necessary to achieve the story that Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano were trying to tell? Like, and I get it. Cause people are going to, if you're going to tweet me, at least be an extra follower so that I get up over 440, to tweet at me and tell me that I don't understand that the feud was so extreme that they had to take it there. No, I get that. I think you could have told that story without taking what I viewed as, even in the WWE, an unnecessarily risky bump off the top of a cage down onto that mat. It just doesn't work for me. I don't like it. And those two had enough legitimate, like, good built heat.
Johnny Gargano seems to wrestle with his heart on his sleeve. You can really tell what he's feeling and his emotions always kind of seem to get the best of him. And maybe not always, that's a strong word, but you know, and that's what made him a really good baby face is because you can see that emotion, you can see that strife, but it just also means that he can, like, maybe not make the best decisions when it comes to wrestling, or he does things and you're like, why are you doing that? So
right.
I think that was some things that I got from this match. And maybe, you know, I know Greg's talking more about the second fall, but I know a big question mark that came at the end was the ending where Regal came out. Johnny was able to kind of have his moment, and that leaves a lot of people wondering what's next for him. And there's definitely been some different news circulating that it means that he's going up to the main roster. It means that he's not. It was just a way to kind of honor him. So I do think that as much as this gave some finality to Gargano and Adam Cole, it still leaves a lot left to wonder what's going to happen with Johnny. I don't know where he would fit in the main roster currently, but it also, I don't know what happens with him now, because this is kind of that last chapter with Adam Cole for now. And I just, you know, I think that his time chasing the title is done. So I'm more curious now as to what this means for Johnny.
First of all, some of what you guys said is probably lost because my Skype's the one that shut down randomly out of nowhere. But everything kept recording, but I couldn't hear you, so the recording probably didn't hear you either. But
cool, because yeah. I just made everything up. Cool.
Well, we got most of we lost it's people. It's, I don't know what we lost. I'll have to go.
Oh, so we all, so Patrick's stuff, did that get lost?
Just the good parts.
That's oh, just sorry, internet.
It wasn't sorry, long. Internet. I wasn't gone long. Yeah, just Skype just disappears. I was like, where'd Skype go? What happened? So
yeah, and your face froze in our little video chat. It was weird. I thought you were listening like really, really intently.
No, I wasn't like, listening.
You just
anything.
Never moved.
Right, I wasn't right, hearing right. anything.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was bad. But anyway, what you're saying about the second fall, that was the bigger problem that I had, because I was okay with the third fall and what they did there. I kind of felt like, I guess they thought it was necessary. I guess they want this whole cage with weapons to be an NXT thing, according to what Triple H said in some of the post-show comments. I don't love that per se, but although I was really excited when they opened the bag and there weren't thumbtacks in it. God, I was so happy about that. The crowd booed. I cheered. So I was really happy to see that there were no thumbtacks. What I hate was, so Johnny Gargano blasts Adam Cole with a chair to lose the first fall by disqualification. It would have made more sense to me if he just kept hitting him and then pinned him to win the street fight fall. And then we just went right into the third fall. And that's what did it. Like, it didn't need to be an hour long. It could have been 40 minutes and would have been just fine. Like, that whole street fight fall just seemed unnecessary for me. I was okay with the bump because I know, you know, they pulled it off, although they didn't quite land on the tables, I think, how they wanted to, because they only hit one of the tables and not two, because they had to clear the ladder, so that was kind of weird. I hate the internet making fun of two guys fighting over a sledgehammer like they're fighting over Triple H's love. So,
right.
I didn't love that, but
everyone then knows about our humor. Like, yes. I'm the only one laughing. Greg's upset, you know. Patrick's like, meh, you know. Like,
he doesn't care what the idiots on Twitter think.
Well, it's such a patently stupid thing. Like, and here's what's funny: they grabbed that sledgehammer. I totally thought of Triple H too, because how can you not?
Yeah,
like how can you not? Like that's his thing. But yeah, like, just keep being stupid, Twitter.
What I thought was funny,
just keep being stupid,
was that during the second fall, when Gargano goes under the ring, I saw both a monitor under the ring, even though there was no person under the ring, and a sledgehammer under the ring. So
you always have to have a sledgehammer.
Always have to have a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Tables.
Don't you need it to like sticks, bang stuff on the ring? And that's how rings are made, with sledgehammers.
Yeah, I've put up enough to know.
Totally.
You need a sledgehammer.
Yeah. Suspension of disbelief.
With the hand motion.
Yes.
Gotta have that hand motion. But to me, the finality of it was good. In terms of what's next for Johnny Gargano, look, it's 205 Live. Or at least it should be. That's what's on my right. playlist. For now. I don't think that's his end place, but he doesn't fit anywhere on the main roster. Like, he'll just get lost in the shuffle. He can elevate 205 Live. I would love to see him feud with Drew Gulak, let him win the belt, have him drop it at WrestleMania, and then move on to one of the other two shows. Like, I think that's a good way to transition Gargano. There's some light rumors out there that if Gargano goes up, Candice will too, because of the whole travel situation. I'm actually, despite everything I said earlier, to me, she's a lot like Alexa Bliss. Like, if Alexa Bliss in NXT, she never had a big takeover match or anything like that, and I think if she did, I would have had a lot of the same complaints, but she is a bona fide star on the main roster, and I think the main roster is more where Candice is going to fit in long-term, so I'm okay if she goes up as well. We'll see what happens at the tapings. We're probably going to get Gargano and Ciampa, or not Gargano and Ciampa, but Cole and Ciampa moving forward, so that'll be interesting to see. War Games is the next pay-per-view, so they've got to set something up there, and we'll see what they do and how they do that, because they already did, you know, Undisputed Era versus Pete Dunne and some other guys. And those other guys are now on the main roster. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do against Undisputed Era, but we'll find out what they do. But it should be Should be interesting. Let's shift
maybe,
real quick.
Johnny Gargano is the one trying to kill Roman Reigns. That's the big reveal.
Oh, drama.
Wow.
Yeah.
That will not take long for Roman Reigns to kill Johnny Gargano.
Exactly. That's why he can't beat him in the ring. So.
No, he certainly cannot.
Yeah. So
hit him with a car. That's right.
Yeah, hit him with a car.
Because here comes the big dog.
Yeah. Oh, I got that one too.
I know, I did that for you.
I just want to say, I did not edit the Phoenix, Arizona part in there. Like, that bite came like that on YouTube. All I did was... I mean, I got it some other way, not YouTube.
You're a Phoenix, Mark. Shut up. You know.
Right. Sure am. That's actually true.
Yeah, totally a Phoenix, Mark.
No problem admitting that whatsoever. It's, yeah. So SummerSlam, I mean, we can just jump ahead of SummerSlam. But did anything... we talked about Ember and Bayley, and I completely agree with what Miranda was saying right there. I can't remember how you phrased it in our Facebook group, but it was hilarious what you said about.
Oh, I said it's trash.
Yes,
Bayley and Ember is trash.
You said it was fucking trash. And, is what you said.
And I, like I said, a lot of that was Bayley, and that sucks. You know, but I also am an objective fan where I will call it as I see it, and definitely the worst women's match of the entire weekend.
Yeah. And that's saying a lot because I saw the match on the kickoff. And the match on the kickoff was pretty bad, too.
Wait, can we – if we're doing reflections and we're talking women's matches, so Charlotte and Trish.
Go ahead. Talk about it. Talk. Because it's on my – I was going to make sure we talked about it. So go. Take it away, Patrick O'Dowd.
Speaking of the dumb that is Twitter, apparently somebody said on Twitter – that this was the greatest match that Trish Stratus has had in her entire career. This is a thing that was tweeted, Miranda. I was watching that, and I was like, oh, she can't hold the bridge. She had Charlotte in the figure eight, and I was like, oh, she can't hold the bridge. That's why they're going to have to break the hold, because she can't stay up.
She put the figure four on backwards.
Backwards.
She had the wrong leg. Like, if you ever folded your arms the other way?
Right.
That's what it looked like to me. Like it's just so awkward. Like, I'm like, no, that's the wrong. It's the right leg. No, Trish. I don't know if it's
Charlotte
Canadian, if it's
so
different.
Well, she carried that match so well that she made people believe that Trish was that good.
Like, even the Stratus faction, the stupid bulldog, like, I mean.
Right, yeah. Oh, that was so
bad. And it was also rough when she hit it at Evolution, last fall. Right. Like, but of course, I'm a dummy. Because I, am...
Well, it's an illusion. That's what it is. Like,
but it wasn't a
was
good
that,
illusion.
She literally had to carry her when they were on that turnbuckle trying to, like, do the powerbomb. Like, she carried her.
She picked
her
up.
Her weight.
Charlotte was like, okay, I'm going to stand. Strong. Okay, I'm going to jump. Like, it was just...
Well, I think the moment they killed that match for me, and I know this had actually nothing to do with Trish's ability to do what she was able to do in the past. It was the height disparity being so challenging that Charlotte literally was like, oh, she needs to kick me in the head now. I better bend over so I get kicked in the head.
Yeah.
Which part of that is that Trish has lost some flexibility. The other part of it, because she couldn't get the leg all the way up the way she used to. But the other part is that Charlotte's so damn tall. She's so damn tall.
She is.
In some ways, I wish this was an evolution because you almost see the evolution of women's wrestling between the two. You see the sizes, disparities. You see the athleticism. You see so many things that have changed in wrestling between these two women that I could definitely see this in an evolution. And also the response, right? I mean, I know for me, I was predicting Trish to win because I thought everyone was going to lose their mind and she was going to be so over, and the crowd did not give a damn. I think they ended up enjoying the match because of Charlotte, and Charlotte played her role really well. I mean, boy, she tried to get the crowd even engaged in her, but they just didn't really seem to care. So I don't know if it was just the placement of the match or they just weren't excited overall, I thought this was better than I thought it was going to be, to be honest. But also, it was
really,
I didn't realize how how much Charlotte carried Trish throughout this match. I think it's just a something just for Charlotte to be really, really proud of.
There's a reason why Charlotte Flair was always going to be in the WrestleMania main event. Like, she is the glue that Patrick referred to earlier with Roderick Strong. And the height thing, she should use her Scott Hall offense. That's what I like to call it with Charlotte, because Scott Hall was way taller than people realize sometimes. She carried the hell out of that match. And remember, I'm the idiot who said it should have gone on last. Thank goodness that didn't happen.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
And that they should have a rematch at WrestleMania. No, none of that should happen.
Yeah, we're good. And that kept Miranda off of Twitter.
Yes.
Because that was one of the stipulations, is that, you know, for this to ever happen, Charlotte had to lose. Greg, I do want to go back to, you'd mentioned in NXT that Io Shirai was the best women's wrestler in the world right now. Charlotte's 1A. If we're gonna argue that, and I'll even admit, like, I was not around on Charlotte Flair, kind of like the way I came around on Braun Strowman eventually and finally got it. Like, I get it. She is really talented. She's really good. She makes matches better, and that whole charisma that she carries, like, she just owns the damn ring and owns, like, from the second she shows up on the ramp all the way through to the end of that match, even in losing, like, she's the real deal. And you know, I was one of those people who did not want to believe that, and I'm wrong. How about that? I will say that I was wrong about Charlotte Flair, because she is it. And when she wins her 17th world title of some sort, we will have some huge celebration when it happens at WrestleMania 40.
That's a 37, probably.
Yeah, 37. Nah, I was going to say 37. Nah. I was
going to
say.
It's probably going to be in LA, and we're probably going to be there. So
you got to have it on one of those, like, benchmark manias, though, right?
Every mania is a benchmark. Showcase of the Immortals, Patrick. You know this.
Oh, stop it.
Yes, but I think maybe we should put out an LOL Charlotte Wins t-shirt. I wonder how people would feel about that.
That's a good one.
Because she's about to beat Bayley here at Clash of Champions. So it's coming. Number 10 or whatever number. I think that'll be number 10. I don't know. But, yeah, I think in my write-up of SummerSlam, I said that Charlotte was doing her best Io Shirai impersonation in carrying Trish Stratus to a good match. So we're going to skip
everybody.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. I don't care what people think. I'm gonna skip the rest of SummerSlam so we can talk about this. So Sasha Banks returned on Raw, and everybody went crazy. Patrick, what'd you think?
Wasn't she, like, leaving the company?
It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time in Brooklyn!
Miranda, what about you?
She was in Japan and stuff. She was going to leave, go to AEW.
Greg, what do you think? Well, you know, I mean, I was really not surprised.
It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time in Brooklyn!
You guys did this. You said, you made fun of me in the Facebook chat. You guys
made fun of you. I predicted it.
Yeah, this.
I wouldn't have done it if you didn't predict it.
In retaliation, you.
Oh, come off it! Get out of town. That is such a lie.
Really though, How'd you guys feel? Patrick, go. I won't interrupt you, I promise.
It's so funny. Like, she appeared, and I was like, oh, look, I guess she's not fired. Oh, look, I guess she is staying, Internet. Oh, look. Look, she totally threw that tantrum on the floor that ruined her reputation, and she's never going to make it in the company again. Damn it. You know, it was a timely return. It was a good time for her to come back. It definitely, she's been gone long enough and off television long enough that she feels fresh. It'll be interesting to see if it stays fresh. And I like that she's going after Becky and not Bayley. I think that is the absolutely 9,000% right answer. We have seen Becky and Bayley, or not Becky and Bayley. We have seen Sasha and Bayley in so many ways over such a long period of time. Good Lord, no more. I'm tapping out. Tapping out on the Sasha and Bayley saga until, let's say, WrestleMania 40, since I threw that out there earlier.
Yeah. No, I new hair, who this? Because I'm surprised as to how much people are reacting over her new hair color. Like, it's this new Sasha Banks. Her hair is blue, everyone. And it's
what was the point of the purple wig and removing it? Like,
well, I think it's the significance of, like, the old Sasha. The old Sasha is gone, you know? This is a new Sasha. It's a meaner Sasha. The blue hair maybe has some significance to, you know, royalty, or this kind of.
Well, she was wearing, I don't know if you noticed, she was wearing the same gear she wore at the Royal Rumble. So,
right.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I, you know, Internet, I'm surprised by you, how much you read into blue hair. But I get the
you're surprised the about the Internet doing something?
Silly rabbit.
Really?
Yes.
Can you play that you're adorable thing? Do we have that somewhere? Because that's adorable.
Oh, I haven't had that for years.
That's
we gotta find that, because that's nice.
I gotta, like, play it. I think it's actually part of a show opening. I don't think it was ever a soundbite.
Right, that's right. Besides that.
Yeah.
But I like the approach that they did with her attacking Natalia first and then Becky too, because it can play off of both for now. Maybe the Sasha-Becky stuff doesn't happen right away, but even if it does, I think it's going to be exciting. It's new. It's the opposite of what I think a lot of people were looking for, or Becky had with Lacey and even Natalia. You know, someone with charisma, someone who can really wrestle, and someone who can really give Becky a good fight. And so I also think, though, she's going to get cheered, too. It's going to be two almost anti-heroes. It's not going to be a heel Sasha, as much as, you know, that's what she's going to portray. The people are going to be behind both of them.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, Natalia's out there crying, cutting a promo about her dead father in her home country of Canada. Gets the crap kicked out of her by Sasha Banks, and the crowd is chanting, "Thank you, Sasha." Like, that's just so perfect, and made me smile because it's Toronto and it's bizarro world. And
go Canada.
Yeah, way to represent. But
stay classy.
I mean, but it's not like that. She got the return pop. She got what?
Right.
It goes to prove that, you know, the being away is a good thing in wrestling. And I still believe, you know, she was a crybaby about WrestleMania, and she had, you know,
oh, yeah,
expectations. And I still think it was more about her not being in the main event, less about the tag titles. But obviously, she got to make her big return. She's getting to feud with the biggest female star in the company. There's so many positive things about this for her that I'm sure she's fine. She got to have blue hair. It's just, you know, which is really funny because she was posting pictures of herself with blonde hair, like, that same day. Like, she completely Jericho'd right. The whole thing, which was just beautiful. And
well, yeah, I mean, you need to have a base color. I mean, if you know some simple hair dye techniques, you gotta bleach it in order for that color to absorb that well. So,
right.
So
you like, and then you get the extensions, and you get it all in there, so that
especially if you have Sasha's right. hairline, you have to do that,
right?
Okay,
that was mean. That was too much.
Yeah, that's
too, wasn't it? Have you been on Twitter?
But accurate.
Yes. It's a funny story about hair dye. When I was in college, I off a bet or as a fundraiser, I had to dye my hair blonde, and didn't bleach it first, and so it actually turned like dark red. and then grew out over the summer. Yeah. Like, it was not the effect that it was supposed to have. But that's...
Don't lie. You got frosted tips, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it looked like that at one point while it was growing out.
Guy Fieri. That's what you did. You did the Guy
Definitely
Fieri.
Didn't go Guy Fieri. No. No, that did not happen.
You wish you went Guy Fieri. That's how...
No, you don't. Don't wish that on your worst enemy, Miranda. That's just awful.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. But no, I think it's great that she's back. I think that the feud with Becky is perfect. I really wanted Shayna to show up at SummerSlam and attack Becky Lynch, still as NXT Women's Champion. I'll take this. I'm totally fine with this.
So I got a question here, though. Does the WWE do that thing that they do sometimes where Sasha loses in a hurry, loses quick?
Maybe, because you got to know your place.
And then the Twitter will explode.
No, I don't know. I think this is different with Becky this time. Because they have to have it, you know, be competitive, I think, and to really leave Sasha as this now a big heel. I think that they know this is her element. She's a much better heel than she is a face. So that's where I think she's going to be able to shine. So I don't. I mean, maybe it's just more wishful thinking. Maybe I'll just cry if I think of it of any other way. I have to do it for my sanity. I also think, what the hell am I doing, you know, with all this for as a fan? So I'm going to say no. She's not gonna
for
lose.
The record, I don't know that I don't think that'll happen. But let me just say, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if that was something that the WWE pulled. Because the WWE is a notoriously vindictive company. No matter how many times you listen to Bruce Prichard deny it, they're a horribly vindictive company with their talent. And you look at some of the folks that didn't pan out in different ways, or even are there and stay there. Like, for as much as we give them a hard time, like... Jim Ross got shamed horribly while he was away recovering from a pretty serious medical issue. Carlito Colon kind of deserved it, but got dressed down more than one time. Got jabbed out in a hurry. Tons of guys. Chris Jericho lost all over the place after he made his huge debut. Just listen to that podcast this week, too. It just wouldn't surprise me if that happened. And that Becky makes short work of Sasha, maybe one match. You know, maybe it's not a sustained thing. I'm not saying it's gonna.
Yeah.
I don't think it will. It wouldn't surprise me if she did.
Absolutely. I see what you mean, because exactly that. And some of it is timing, though, too. I think that she did need to take some time. And Becky had some initial feuds after WrestleMania. They weren't that great. And now people are losing their mind over this, because this is great. And both Becky and Sasha have evolved over the past few months, too. So we are dealing with two pretty, you know, fresh people. So I think that, you know, things happen for a reason. And I also then would think, who would be next after Sasha? And right now I don't see a next. I don't see, you know, anyone bigger than Sasha after Becky right now. So they need to just stretch it out.
They do. I think this goes, you know, to and probably beyond Hell in a Cell. But I'm okay. Like, they may have Becky pull a fast one over Sasha, but what matters is what Sasha does in response.
Right.
And it could be a test. Vince loves to test people. We've heard all kinds of stories about that in the past. So it wouldn't shock me if they pulled something like that just to see how Sasha would respond. It would make sense. Like, it wouldn't shock me if her character does lose by making a mistake and Becky gets one over on her. But does she have a brutal attack afterwards? Like, how they follow it up? That's what's going to speak volumes about it. But I wouldn't be surprised if what you said happens. Wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. So, all in all, though, you know, thumbs up for Sasha Banks' return. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, I like it, too. My last little bone on this, Brandy talked about this being new and fresh. Becky had a fresh feud with a new star. It just wasn't the star that people wanted her to feud with. Like, people crapped all over Lacey Evans being in that spot. And whether that was fair or not fair, I mean, I kind of leave that up to our listeners. But like, it's not that they have been treading water with Becky Lynch.
No, that's a good point. You're right. The whole program that she had with Lacey was not a fan favorite, and I don't know if the back-to-back pay-per-views made it any better, because then that's just perceived as, oh, now you're just shoving this down our throat instead of being one and done. So sometimes it is their booking decisions, whereas something that fans want to see multiple times, they only do once, and then the things that fans are over with after one or two times, they keep on doing. So, but that's on, you know, that's something WWE needs to check themselves on. But also that's not the wrestlers. That's the fans' kind of perception and, you know, view of what's happening in a feud or with a wrestler.
At the same time, Lacey Evans had a line around the building at SummerSlam for her autograph session. Drew McIntyre had less than 50 people. So there you go. Heard about that. Samoa Joe had like 4 people in his line too. Like someone was telling me about the lines. Wow. Orton had a smaller line than you would think, but apparently was spending like tons of time with everybody and having a blast. Roman Reigns, by the way, wasn't at any of the SummerSlam events, not even at the SummerSlam Access, was nowhere to be found SummerSlam weekend, but was all over the advertising. I think something's up there, and I hope it's not like a health thing. That's all I'm going to say. Why would he be anywhere? Not even signing autographs. It just seems weird to me. But he did sign a new contract, according to who you believe today. So, it's right. Got to get that money and got to get paid. Because Roman, and he can do movies now. So, that's it. That's going to do it for this week's edition. Patrick's getting ready to head on a 2-week vacation. So, you're at the 434 now on the Twitter. We'll put bets on it. Where do you think, Patrick, your follower count will be when you're back after 2 weeks off?
428.
So you're going to go down, okay. Miranda, what do you think?
I'm going to say 437.
437. So I will – so it's Price is Right. Do I want to go below?
Yeah.
Do I want to go $1? I'll go $438. I think Patrick's going to have a resurgence because he'll be too busy to tweet anything bad, and then he'll put something good out there, and next thing you know, people will follow him. So there we go. It's a 10-point swing between the three of us. That's not bad. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll get to one number, and I'll have to unfollow him just so I can win, or Patrick can win. I don't know, because if I unfollow him, I lose, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, as for Miranda, well, first of all, you can follow Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist. There's also one in Patrick. There's also one in Friend. He's my best friend. I'm going to miss you, man.
I'm not dying.
I know.
We'll still talk. I'm just not doing the show.
That's true. Yeah. I'll probably talk to you more. Because of that reason.
Yeah.
Probably texting about actual wrestling. All right. Good night, nerds.
Have fun. And then for you, Miranda, well, we're going to talk to you in a few minutes to do your show. What can people expect on the upcoming edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show?
We are going to be talking about some of wrestling's biggest transformations. We have our lists ready.
We have our lists. We prepared.
I actually have a proper topic this week. It's phenomenal. I can't believe it myself. But yeah, there's been some wrestlers who's had some pretty interesting style transformations, and we're going to talk all about it on this week's Hashtag Miranda Show.
So follow her nowhere, because that's creepy, and there's no other way to really follow her. Get your soft style t-shirt on her behalf at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Because she is the queen of soft style. We'll be back next week with a very fun and special edition. It's going to be the Hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco. Super show. I can't remember how
showdown.
We did.
Showdown. Yeah. Pal. Super showdown, pal. Spectacular.
Yeah, we're going to have the such good shit in there. We're going to talk some Lucha Underground and who knows what other topics will be. And it'll be lots of fun because that's what we're going to do. Otherwise, we can just go ahead and close down the show. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right. Next time.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.